Already on the phone right now is author Martin Duggard. His new book, Taking London, Winston Churchill and the Fight to Survive Civilization, is in stores on June 11th. And it's his third book in his Taking series. Hey, Martin, how you doing? It's been a little while since we chatted.
Yeah, Mark, it's great to hear from you.
Did this book got delayed a little bit, didn't it?
We moved. It was supposed to be, I think, a Christmas book last year, and they decided to move it to summer, which was good. It actually gave me a little bit of extra time to kind of fuss with the pages. I added a couple new characters, and you know, I like those coming out in the summer instead of you know, that really busy Christmas season.
Yeah, this is by the way, this is the seventh interview we're doing, so we're getting up there with your books.
Is it seven? Wow.
Also, I got to wish you a happy belated birthday since you had a birthday last week. You're officially 3 years older than me.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for that. Appreciate that.
15 number one New York Times bestseller novels. Of course, some of those were with Mr. Bill O'Reilly, of course.
Yeah. So that was a good run. We're not doing books together anymore. We have one still left to come out in October, but we kind of called an end to the partnership. It's been a good run since 2009 we started.
Did they change the date of that book? Because when I talked to the St. Martin's guy, he said September 10th. And when I looked on Amazon this morning, it said September 10th.
Oh, they must have moved it up a little bit. Yeah. It's good. It's an election book. So
yeah, perfect. It's called Confronting the President. It's no spin assignments from Washington to Biden. So you're done with the killing? That's it? No more? He's moving on?
I think Bill might do some more. I just decided I wanted to go do my solo stuff.
Yeah.
So I think there might be more killing, but I know that he wants to do more confronting, too. I wanted to focus on the Taking series. I've got another book coming out next year. We'll be Taking Midway.
Oh, okay.
But Taking London is number three in the series. I think, you know, in addition to all the killing books, I think Taking London is the best thing I've written in my whole career. It's great. It's action-packed. It's got bad guys and good guys and an epic battle. We got Winston Churchill. We've got fighter pilots, Spitfire pilots. I like to call this book Top Gun Meets the Nazis because that's kind of what it is.
Was this the book we talked a few years ago, and I forgot when she passed away, but was this the book you were researching when you were in London and the Queen passed away and you waited in line like 15 hours to walk by her coffin?
Yeah, good memory. Yeah, that was I had planned to go to London to work on this book, and coincidentally she died just the day before I flew. So, yeah, my wife changed her plans when she came with me, and I flew in a Spitfire that day. It was a great day. That was super fun. And then we were going back to our hotel, and my wife said, "Why don't we just get in line, you know, see how long it takes?" So we were there till about 1 o'clock in the morning. But I wouldn't have missed out for the world. That was epic.
Were all the people around you? Were you like making new friends, and everyone just talking about the Queen and about London? And
yeah, it was kind of cool because the line when I started was all the way down. It was about a mile past the Tower Bridge. And if you know London, if you follow the walkway on the south side of the river, you can follow it all the way down. Then we just passed Parliament. We came back over the bridge to the north side of the river. So it was funny. We were in line with the same people pretty much the whole time. Nobody was, if anybody tried to cut in line, it was a lot of public outcry. You know, everybody was very polite, but get to know the same people. It was a good gig. It was nice getting to know these people.
The new book, Taking London, starts out in 1934, and I didn't realize, but Winston Churchill wasn't the prime minister then. I was like doing a double take. He was in what, charge of like the military, or was a special officer or something?
No, you know, Winston Churchill in the early 1930s was in a career wilderness. Everybody thought he was a warmonger because he kept saying, "Look, you know, we gotta pay attention to Nazi Germany." And at the time, Britain, you know, World War One had been horrible, so nobody wanted to fight it. And people thought that Hitler was he kept talking about peace, and they thought he was a good guy. And Churchill was not listened to. He was reviled, ridiculed. He didn't come back into the government for about 4 or 5 more years. And he doesn't become prime minister until May 10th, 1940, which is the same day, coincidentally, the Nazi Germany invaded France.
Yeah, and then to top all that off, because I've read a lot of books on with Wallace Simpson and, you know, the Prince of Wales. They were both fans of Hitler, too, and even when he became the king, they were, like, kind of on Hitler's side.
Yeah, very much on Hitler's side. Matter of fact, if Germany had won the Battle of Britain and then invaded Britain, that was the plan. You had to defeat the Air Force before you could invade. The plan was for the former king to be placed on the throne. Churchill, of course, would be executed, and the king's brother would be also executed.
Well, Taking London starts off, you know, you start in 1934, but it primarily focuses on the year 1940. And even before, you know, the Battle of France, there were people in the British government that feared that there was no way that England could even beat Hitler if it came to that. And this centers on Churchill. It centers on fighters Peter Townsend, Jeffrey Wellham, Richard Hillary, and an American fighter, Billy Fisk, who came over from the States that was determined to get into the war to help London. Well, to help England, I mean.
Yeah, Billy Fisk is a cool character.
Yeah.
He was a two-time Olympic gold medalist in bobsled, and he had learned to fly a little bit, but, you know, his wife was British, and he just decided he wanted to fight and help England. So he kind of snuck into the country, and he got a special interview, and, you know, that we had what were called the Neutrality Acts, which forbade Americans from fighting on the side of England. And he kind of got around that by pretending he was Canadian and became a great fighter pilot. Flew Hawker Hurricanes with what was known as the Millionaire Squadron, a bunch of very talented pilots who also happened to be very wealthy.
Yeah, and we follow along each chapter. You know, we learn about these pilots. We learn about their lives. We learn what happens to them. And obviously it's a war, and I don't think this is a spoiler. Not everyone makes it out alive. During this book, unfortunately, but it's, I mean, what's your research like? I mean, obviously you weren't there. There's no people alive from then. I mean, there's relatives and stuff, but like, what's your research like? Because you don't, I mean, for, you know, Billy Fisk, you don't know what he's thinking, but for, you know, for the purpose of writing the book, you know, you have to kind of, do you just assume what they might have been doing, or is it from records and, you know, stories passed down by his family?
Well, Billy Fisk is a good example. He didn't write a book. The other three pilots that I feature, including a fourth pilot, Al Deere, all wrote a book, so I was able to kind of get inside their heads with that stuff.
Yeah.
And know their movements and their whereabouts. But Billy Fisk, like all pilots, kept a flight log. He had recorded every time he flew, and there was always, if you read the flight log, there was, you know, what kind of plane it was, what kind of flight it was, you know, whether it was a formation flight or an aerobatics flight. And, you know, he logged the hours, but he always had, he wrote a comment. And so everything else was very terse and very short. But in the comments section, he was very expository. He was very open about, like, you know, great flight, or, oh, my engine failed, it, you know, shut this down, you know. So you could kind of see what he was doing. And then, of course, you read the squadron log about what other pilots are saying about Fisk or what happened that day, so we can record everything. Battle Britain is really well recorded. I mean, as far as the information out there for the research, is just because everybody flew their squadron, so the detailed squadron records tell you what happened every day, you know, who flew, and, like, if we introduce a new character and that person shoots a plane down and gets shot down themselves, it's very easy for me to go through the database and find that person. You'll see where they're from, see how old they were, you know, what their middle name was, where they were from, all that kind of stuff. And there's usually a picture, too, so I can describe them. So if you do the digging, it's all out there. You just have to kind of, it's not direct research where you can just punch their name and it pops up. You've got to kind of really go through a lot of different kind of records to find out what you need to know.
How does it work with the pictures? Do you guys, you or the book company, have to license them for purposes of the book, or are they public record?
some are public record. The others I have to pay for, and I pay for them. It's part of my contract. But it's not like we're spending thousands of dollars. You license them for a period of time. And if there are photographic databases that are happy to sell, to make money selling you old pictures.
Yeah. Do you ever hear, I mean, this one obviously isn't out until tomorrow, June 11th. This is Monday as we're taping this. Have you heard from any family members from the other first two books, you know, that said, wow, this was great. I didn't know this about this person or that you know, their family member?
No, not really. I mean, every now and then when you write a book, somebody will say, oh, that was my uncle. Or actually, in my case, one time, my own dad got to be a character in one of the killing books because he'd been part of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So Bill at the time just said, hey, put him in. But, you know, there is one living Battle of Britain fighter pilot right now. His name is John Hemingway. He's Irish, and he's 104 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I put him in the book. He makes it one appearance, and he has a very nice quote. But I put him in the book because he's still alive, and I would love for this to find him and for him to at least, you know, see his name in print.
Yeah, especially with the D-Day stuff going on, you know, they're still showing a few of the last remaining guys that were, you know, part of World War II.
I know. It was kind of sad, though, too, because almost every newspaper story I read said, this is probably going to be the last time, you know, because they kind of do these every 5-year type things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad because these guys have seen so much, and they were part of such a pivotal battle. But you know, that's where we are. I mean, some of these, here we're in 2024, it would have been great to write Taking London, let's say 30 years ago. I wouldn't have been very good 30 years ago. I wasn't much of a writer back then.
Yeah.
But you know, it'd be nice to talk to some of these guys, you know, go find them and you know, hear firsthand some of their stuff. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, I can describe what it's like to be inside a Spitfire, and I can describe what it's like to look down and, you know, see the British countryside, but it'd be nice to hear from their point of view what that felt like.
So Taking Midway, that'll be next year around this time, you think?
Yeah, that's due out. I'm still wrapping that one up. It's due to the publisher at the end of July, but yeah, the idea is to have that as another Father's Day book, and that's, you know, Taking Midway, obviously the story of the Battle of Midway, which has been told a lot, but I think I'm doing it in a way that's going to, you know, kind of like with Taking London. I mean, there's a lot of books about the Battle of Britain, but I like to think I told the story in a new and exciting way that keeps the reader turning the pages.
Did you get to take the wife to Hawaii?
I did.
Right.
I did. You see, well, we live in California. It's not that far a trip, but she loves Hawaii. I think she'd like me to set every book in Hawaii. So we go there all the time.
Well, this book, Taking London, is out again from Dutton on June 11th, tomorrow, or whenever you're listening to this. Before I let you go, I saw on your Twitter page, Martin J. Duggard, your dogs, Django and Sadie, how are they doing?
They're great. Sadie is here with me now, and she's chewing her ball, and she's anxiously waiting for me to get off the phone, so I'll throw it to her. But yeah, they're great. Thanks for asking. Great dogs.
How old are they?
Django is 10, and Sadie is 3, so she's the black lab. Django's a hound, but he's a pretty spry 10-year-old. He gets around really well, and Sadie, of course, is in a bundle of energy.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then the kids are doing all right, and the wife?
Kids are good. Yeah. My wife is actually having a cancer battle right now. We're working through that. It's been a couple of years. But the boys are good. I've got, you know, 3 sons, and they all do different things. One's a Navy pilot, one works at Disneyland, and one is a video game designer. So 3 different careers.
Oh, good. Well, Martin, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Taking London, again, is out June 11th. Maybe we'll talk to you for Confronting the Presidents, or if not, I'm sure we'll talk to you for Taking Midway next year.
Yep, call anytime.
All right, cool, man.
Teamwork.
All right, great. Thanks. Great talking to you.
Oh, likewise.
All right, bye-bye.